Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to the Sheer Luxe Team podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Heather Steele and Lou Huff. Hi, both.
Hi.
Hello.
I feel like this is a long time since we've kind of all been together in a very long time.
Well, I know you particularly enjoy the opportunity for a catch up with Heather. And
I do.
But I thought it was overdue a little catch up. How are you both?
Good. You just come back from a week's holiday, 9 days holiday?
Nine nights. I think the last time I did a podcast, I was saying that I was desperately hoping to get there. So I got there. I did.
Well done.
And how was the airport and like that sort of drama?
You know what? It was honestly, when I say it's easy, like it was difficult in the sense that there's a lot of admin to do, but actually as soon as you've kind of done all of that, it was fine. As long as you've done it all correctly, it was fine. So there's quite a lot of testing and forms and making sure you've printed the right QR code and kind of all of that stuff. But once that is done, then yeah, it was, the airports were quieter than they would normally be in August for obvious reasons, so mm-hmm. Both ends were pretty seamless. I used to fly back from Yorker quite often on a Sunday night and nearly always got home at about 3 o'clock in the morning because flights were delayed by hours and hours, and we couldn't believe it. We got in last night at 10 p.m which was so civilized and made a nice change to our the years of delays. So feeling incredibly grateful to have seen the sea and seen some sun.
And what was it like when you were there? Was it masked? Did it feel very different to usual?
Yeah, so we were in Mallorca, so it was, and we managed to get there last summer as well, and it was pretty much the same. So masks inside, last year it was mandatory to wear masks everywhere, like outside mm-hmm. included there, and that's no longer the case. You do have to wear masks inside and, in taxis and that kind of thing. But apart from that, there's no other real restrictions. Clubs are shut, don't let me do much. That's about it. And everything else we wanted to do was kind of completely fine to do as normal. And so, it felt just like a proper normal holiday.
Oh, that's great. I enjoyed all your outfit pics you posted yesterday.
I did take a bit of a social media break.
And how did you find that?
I think it's really beneficial if Instagram, you really only go on just to see what kind of, it should be kind of voyeuristic to see what people you mm-hmm. know are up to. But I think for all of us, and I don't want to speak for you guys, but for me, I like, it's a hobby. I mean, like, I genuinely like take interest in and I'm inspired by the people I follow. And what I saw, I just kind of missed it more, as like a something to see. I don't follow people who I find boring and irritating. I only mm-hmm. follow people who I love their wardrobes or their, whatever it may be. So actually I just kind of missed it really. But it was nice not to be sharing anything of myself. I liked the pressure of that
removed.
But generally I've never really found a break hugely resetting for me, if that makes sense.
Well, that just shows that you're using it in the right way.
That's what I was gonna say.
Probably I think my screen time says otherwise, but Lou, we've been ships in the night over the last few weeks, but you've been up to loads.
Yes, I feel like I've just been like a traveling gypsy the last couple of weeks. I've spent a lot of time on various motorways. The week before you were off, we managed to get a last minute trip to the Pig in Harland Bay in Cornwall, which is their latest opening, which is really lovely and like classic Brits. We had like on the way down, it was literally like thunderstorms and rain, and we're like, oh my god, we packed enough anoraks. And then when we arrived, it was like unbelievable blue skies and like the sea looked like the Mediterranean. It was so clear. So we had a real mix of weather, but I used to go there a lot when I was younger. And like this particular caravan park called Mother Ivy Bay, which I literally had like so many amazing family holidays there. So it's just like really lovely to be back, and it was just very like nostalgic. We had a really, really lovely time.
Did you caravan when you were younger?
Yeah.
That is so fun.
Yeah, we used to, like, not one of those ones that you drive down the motorway, but we used to go to a static caravan park. And we went with another family and just had so many lovely summer holidays down there.
Oh, how fun.
So fun. Oh, good. So you managed, you've had a break at the very least.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was really nice to step away from emails and social media and bits like that for a while. And then we've had quite a few weddings. And yeah, we're hopefully going away properly in September. I love kind of dipping in and out of, you know, going to day trips. And we're quite good at doing that on weekends and kind of the time we've got to not stay in London and just do something. But sometimes you do just want a long period of not having to make a decision and the decision being like, you know, what bikini should I put on today? Rather than where we're going to go, what should I pack? Fingers crossed we'll be going away in September, but it's the third. We've cancelled three trips already this summer. So until I'm sat on that sun lounger, I'm not counting anything.
Fingers crossed for you. Heather, yeah. What have you been up to?
Nothing really. I've seen lots of people, so it's been very nice. But generally, it's just been a bit of a sort of gloomy summer because the weather's just been crap and I haven't gone away anywhere. But I still had a good time. But yeah, no, it basically feels like I've just been in my flat working pretty much for the last 3 months. So
The weather does just make such a huge impact. Yeah. Like we were in Bath on Saturday. And Bath is so beautiful just when it's not raining. And it was literally like people were pouring buckets on our heads on Saturday. It was just so torrential. And we stayed in this lovely boutique hotel called The Yard in Bath, which is a new hotel that's just opened. And we managed to like get into the hotel at 3:00. And then we literally just spent the rest of the afternoon in there. And like normally when the weather's nice, you're like, oh, I must be like out and about, but actually it was like a really nice excuse to basically just enjoy the hotel room and have a bath and you know, watch films and stuff. It's quite crazy.
That's really nice.
It's the last time of year that you want to be cozy is August though.
Totally. Yeah, it's when you see other people, like on a yacht or swimming in the sea and enjoying that. That's where social media, I think, can kind of piss you off.
Yeah. Everyone could just not travel for a while. That would be really nice. Heather, you're off next week though, aren't you?
I am, but yeah, I'm not going anywhere especially glamorous. I'm going to Grimsby, which is where I'm from, for 4 days, which will be nice because I've not seen my granddad since the Christmas before last. So,
oh my god,
vaccinations. I'm like, right, gonna go up and see him. So that'll be nice. I'm looking forward to that a lot. And then I've got a wedding in Newcastle the following week, in the middle of the week, because she's another one who's had to move it. I think this is round 4. So it's on a Wednesday, but no, looking forward to it massively. So
I've got one on Thursday this week, and it's Monday today. And when I say I have nothing to wear to this wedding, like I spent all of last week on holiday. I probably did like an hour a day researching, like trying to work out what, you know, I really don't want to buy anything. There's nothing I like on a rental site.
Yeah, that's what I've been trying. Because I sent you an option the other day, so I was like, I don't know what to do. But yeah, I've been trying to look at these rental sites because they seem a good idea. But I think they probably have a lot of things in a size sort of 8 and 10, but not much more.
Keep happy for me, Heather. As soon as you start filtering by a size 10 or 12, the options sadly go.
Yeah.
I know.
I haven't found anything. And also, like, obviously these sites are amazing, especially for, you know, sort of inspiration and stuff. But I've actually found with some of them, like, they're in nice dresses, but I'd have to pay maybe £60-70. But actually, if I managed to buy them new, they wouldn't be that much more. So it's, I know they're a good idea, but I think probably for like really special occasion stuff. Whereas because the wedding I'm going to is probably like relatively casual compared to others, I feel like I might as well just spend an extra £80-90 and get something I'll wear loads.
I agree. The renting is really worth it if you're renting like an £1,000 dress.
Exactly.
But I agree, spending £50 to rent a £200 dress.
Yeah. The wedding I went to 2 weeks ago, I was like in this exact predicament. I was like, oh my God, I've got nothing to wear. I don't know what to wear. And I don't know about you guys, but I feel like there's like more pressure like this season to wear like a really good outfit because we haven't worn them in so long. It's like, oh my God, I must wear something. Whereas previously you'd be like, oh, I've just got something, you know, I don't know, I've worn before, I'll wear it again.
Yeah.
Anyway, I like really didn't know what to wear. And I came across a Horror of a Cutie blouse on Matches. And I was actually like, this is perfect. And I wore it on, I wore it for the wedding. I wore it with a pair of white tailored trousers and my fancy Loffler Randall bow shoes, which kind of were the statement in itself. But then I wore it again the following like Wednesday going out for dinner. And it was so nice to feel like I've literally just like already I've worn this piece twice. And normally in occasion dress, you'd be like, okay, that's kind of done now.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. Also, I feel like there's a, like the last, I rented one for a wedding I went to a few weeks ago and I was so happy with it and felt so good in it that that almost mounts more pressure because I'm like, well, how would I recreate it? You know, if I was so good then, what do I do this time? It's very stressful.
And is it a really formal wedding?
Yeah, it's black tie at the Savoy.
Okay. Oh, I see. But in that case then, I think, yeah, renting, like you're saying, £1,000 dress is a good idea.
I know, you must have options.
Well, yeah, I have got some options. I've got some
options. Okay, so send me your options after we'll run through.
Well, that lovely, you know that needle and thread, the red with the very
yes.
I know, it was just a bit oversized. I think last time I put it on to wear to a wedding, it was really oversized. And I was like, oh, I'll get this altered. And that was 2 years ago and never did. So I don't know. I'll send you some options. There's a pink one that I wore that I was busy saying that I'll wear. But then I realized that I wore it like a month before my wedding. And I definitely was a lot skinnier a month before my wedding. Has anyone got anything to recommend? What have you guys been watching, reading?
I've watched two things, both very different. First one was whilst we were having this cozy night in the yard, we watched Cruella, finally. Have you seen it?
How was it?
It is brilliant. I genuinely don't think I've ever seen my husband enjoy a film any more than Cruella. He said it's the best thing he's watched in like 3 years. It's just so, it's so good. Like the way it's filmed is incredible. The acting is amazing. It's obviously Emma Stone and Emma Thompson play the two lead characters. And it's just like wonderfully British. And it for those that don't know, basically tells the backstory of Cruella de Vil and kind of almost Joker-esque to Batman, how she kind of became as evil as she is and why she's like the way she is. But there's a lot of fabulous fashion. It kind of reminded me a little bit of like Vivian Westwood vibes with her fashion, and she works at Liberty for a little bit, so there's a good like Liberty's shot, and it's just really fun. I think any age could watch it and enjoy it. Fabulously produced. Mark Strong is also in it, who I love. But yeah, it's long. It's like 2 hours 20, but I really recommend it if you haven't watched it.
So my husband like won't go to the cinema, that refuses, because he always falls asleep. Like he's like, I refuse to spend £20 on taking a nap. And obviously that like, why don't you just stay awake argument doesn't really fly. But I feel like we need to go and see something like that. But that he will definitely, because you can't fall asleep in that, can you? Like fun and Disney and I don't know if it's still on the cinema. I don't think it is.
I'm sure there's somewhere that you can, but yeah, we rented it. But I think it's on Disney Plus from next week for free. So you can watch it there.
You're going to see Bond, like surely, whenever that finally comes out.
Yeah.
It has to come out in October, I was reading, because you know they keep obviously moving the date back, but they, because it so relies upon product placement, they've had to reshoot scenes so many times because the phones that they're using and stuff are like so out. I was reading that it has to come out in October now because they're spending millions on these reshoots, and it's kind of we need to. It's one of those films where actually it does rely upon the sort of commercial aspect of it. But I think that will be a cinema.
I've thought for a long time that it's really kind of disappointing of them to keep rescheduling it, because obviously, like, you know, there were points where cinemas were open last year and that was what they really wanted here, but actually they just were kind of holding it back for commercial reasons. But I guess I hadn't really thought about the fact that they've also got their own commercial, you know, if they have brand partnerships and they have product placements and stuff, they've also got their own commercial responsibilities, I guess, that they have to fulfill.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not quite as evenly motivated.
But surely, I don't know what they're going to do, because some of these other films that you can obviously buy it to rent or go to the cinema. So I wonder whether maybe they'll do a couple of weeks cinema only and then do. Because I think it's really not to do rental, because lots of people physically can't. They're still shielded.
Yeah.
You can't go to the cinema. And it seems they might as well try the rental things, because they're not cheap either, those rentals. So they'll still make it.
But I guess they're like the price of one cinema ticket. And I guess...
And there was a time where I would like really poo-poo spending that amount of money to watch a film at home. But now I think actually, you like the money that we're not spending, going out and going to cinema, you might as well spend it.
And also in the past, it would have been for an old film, which is what... Whereas for now, it's for a new release. Like I always talk about the Mark Kermode podcast that I love listening to. And he is always saying that the future of cinema is a hybrid, is exactly that. It has to be both. It can't no longer be the case that everything is only shown in the cinema for obvious reasons. But it doesn't mean that you have to get rid of cinemas altogether either. So
yeah,
that hybrid sounds like
yeah.
the best possible option, doesn't it?
And then the other thing that we watched, which we started watching last night, is called For the Love of Kitchens, which is a documentary by Duvall. And it's basically, I think there's 4 episodes so far. It's on Discovery Plus channel, but it basically, each episode shows how like Duvall basically create and design these amazing kitchens in different houses. So the one we watched last night was the kitchen for the House of Hackney designers at the castle in Tremerton. And basically they took on this castle, I think it was in 2018 they got it, and they've obviously been doing up like every single room. They've got obviously all their statement wallpaper and their prints like everywhere. They showed the incredible pool as well, which obviously was open for a little bit, but the kitchen was the last bit they wanted to do, and they got the Duvall team in, and they were so excited about doing this design. They wanted to bring, because the house is like in the middle of like castle ruins, they wanted to bring the castellations that they could see from the kitchen into the kitchen. And they've got this amazing carpenter who's their MD, who was like working out how to do like the spindles on the legs. And I don't know, I just didn't realize the attention to detail that went into the carpentry of these products. And it is so amazing to watch. I think like both of you, like your love for interiors, you'll really enjoy it. So yeah, well worth a watch. And it just makes you literally, I like walked into our kitchen this morning, I was like, God, how boring, why don't I have
this place? Oh, the whole kitchen is the dream one day.
Yeah.
Heather, anything to recommend?
I don't know why, but still been watching Love Island. The final will have finished by the time this goes out, but I haven't even really enjoyed it this year. I've just been watching it again. I think it's part of that sort of gloomy faux autumn vibe. It's just something to do.
Where is Bake Off, speaking of?
Oh, it won't be. I reckon it'll be in like a month's time. They haven't said specifically, but there's lots of rumblings around.
Yeah, they normally tease it by now-ish, don't
they? Yeah, I think it'll be on quite soon. But remember, so Channel 4 has got the Paralympics, which starts this week, which is great. And they're showing 17 and a half hours a day of footage, which is amazing.
Wow.
Compared to obviously what we got with the Olympics and the BBC this year. So I think they'll be focusing on that. And then I think once the Paralympics finishes, they'll probably start doing some bake-off related stuff.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Which is exciting.
So has it already been filmed? It must have been.
Yeah, they usually film it in the summer, don't they? Which is why everyone's stuff's always melting in the tent.
Yeah. I don't think there's much risk of that this year, I reckon.
That's true.
Fine.
I watched 9 Perfect Strangers, actually, the new... Yes, so I reviewed it. I've seen the first 4 or 5 episodes, but it's like one episode coming out a week at the moment. I haven't read the book either, because I know I've spoken to some of my friends about it this weekend. They read the book and quite enjoyed it, so they're intrigued to see what it's like, whereas I don't know how it's going to end. But yeah, so far I'm intrigued by it.
The Nicole Kidman produced, and she both produced it and is starring in it.
Exactly. So it's pretty much the same team who did Big Little Lies. So the same author, Nicole Kidman in a lead role, and she sort of produced it as well. And it's set at a sort of health and wellness retreat, a really exclusive one on the California coast. And there are these 9 people, strangers. They've all found out about it through word of mouth or invitations. Like, there's no social media presence. It's sort of this like hushed, fabled place, but no one actually really knows what happens there. And it's led by Nicole Kidman's character, who's called Masha, who's a Russian sort of guru cult-like figure, with a mysterious past. And yeah, they're all there for various different reasons. There's Melissa McCarthy's character there, who's a romance fiction author who's really successful, but her latest book's been a bit of a flop. So, and she's got a few like personal problem issues, and you're just learning a little bit about each of these characters, but I'm imagining eventually they'll all become intertwined in one way or another, because there's a sort of death that's lingering around in the background at the moment. So I imagine that somehow they're all sort of related to that in some way.
Yesterday I started The White Lotus.
Oh yeah, I really want to watch that.
Yeah, which is this kind of satirical dark comedy on Sky Atlantic, yeah. Also with a really good cast. But your description just now of Nine Perfect Strangers could be perfectly applied to The White Lotus as well. It's like the same. I'm sure they're very different in tone, but description-wise, they're the same thing.
Lots of people have been saying that. They're like, hang on a second. These are essentially the same show. Nine Perfect Strangers is definitely more sort of thrillery and like, ooh, what's going on? Whereas, like you say, I think The White Lotus is obviously like a bit of a laugh and a sort of sideways look at like the upper class, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly that.
Have you guys seen Modern Love as well?
Not the new series, I must. Have you watched it?
Yeah, I watched the first one of the new series, and at first I was like, oh, I don't quite get it. And then I was like bawling my eyes out, and I was like, this is the most wonderful thing.
Don't you think that like some stories really connect and some really don't with Modern Love? Like there are some I'll never forget, like that first one in season one with the doorman. Do you remember, with the Russian doorman?
I remember you telling me, I've not seen it, it's on my list. I remember you telling me about that one before.
That one. And there's a Dev Patel one as well.
Yeah, that's...
So is every episode is a different...
Yeah, so have you not watched the first season?
No, I literally just went straight in with the second.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not that they're related at all, like you don't need to have seen the first, but like there's so many good ones. Yeah, they're all completely different. So it's basically the New York Times has a column called Modern Love, which is where people write in and tell their stories, their modern love stories, and it's not always romantic love, it's, you know, father, stranger, like, you know, interpretations. And so yeah, Amazon Prime have basically taken each of them yeah and made
okay,
them
sweet episodes. Yeah, the first one is Minnie Driver, and it is so heartwarming and cozy, and just yeah, I was bawling my eyes out. There's like one speech at the end, and it just, the way that he articulated his feelings was just like the most romantic thing I've ever heard. It was amazing.
Aww. Lou, watch the Dev Patel one from season
one. Okay.
Yeah, it's absolutely, it's...
So can you go, they're all season ones on Amazon Prime as well?
Yeah. Okay. Be. Yeah, it's really good.
I love an anthology series where it's just like standalone things, different people. Yeah, love it.
You can dip in and out, can't you? It's quite
exactly.
Nice. Heather, speaking of thrillers, I read a book on holiday that was like exactly what, when I say a beach read, you know, it certainly wasn't chick lit, but it's like exactly what you want to read on holiday. Like, was absorbed in it for finished in 24 hours. It was so good. It's called The Plot.
Oh, yes, I saw you were reading that. I've got that. Yeah. I want to read it.
So it's by Jean Hampf Corellis, who wrote the book that The Undoing was based on. That was the Hugh Grant, Nicole Kidman show.
Yeah.
Hugely disappointing, Nicole Kidman Grant show.
Hugely disappointing. Oh,
so Ben and I
still not quite got over that ending, to be fair.
Sometimes Ben and I are just sitting there and we're like, do you remember how shit that ending was?
But the plot of the plot sounds fucking great.
The plot of the plot is amazing. So the plot is about a author. He's kind of early 30s, and he has always dreamt of being an author. And he had one novel when he was younger that kind of got him some accolades and was kind of deemed this kind of bright star, but he never really went anywhere with it. His second, third, fourth books were all like completely useless, and he's ended up being a teacher on like a writing retreat for people who are trying to write novels, and so he's got this kind of failed career in his hand. A young guy comes on his writing retreat and basically says that he has the plot to end all plots. He's writing this novel and it's going to be the next big thing. Like, Oprah's going to pick it up, Steven Spielberg's going to pick it up, like, you cannot beat this plot. It's incredible. And he tells this failed writer his plot. Anyway, this, none of this is a spoiler, this is all on the back cover.
Yeah.
Fast forward a few years later, and the failed author discovers that the other guy, the guy with the infallible plot, has died, and that he never wrote the book, and that no one ever knew about the book. So he decides to write the book himself, and he uses the plot. And as the other guy predicted, it, you know, it's this wildly successful, you know, it's like Gone Girl, it's like The Da Vinci Code, it's like the most successful book ever. But soon he starts getting blackmailed by an unknown character. And it turns out that, yeah, all the rug is about to be pulled out from underneath him. And it's this kind of race against time to discover who knows and to try and get there before they ruin his life and his career. It's really, yeah, it's really Gone Girl-esque. Like, that's the best way to describe it. Like, it's very thrillery. It's very, like, goosebumpy the whole way. It's not rich. It's only really towards the end that you're like, oh, shit, this is about to get a bit dark, I guess. But the rest of it is like a really, it's like getting your teeth into a really good murder mystery. You're like, who is it? And his quest to find who's blackmailing him leads him on these kind of wild adventures across America. And yeah, it would be a spoiler to say anything else, but it was a really, really absorbing, fun read.
I think I'll read those on my very long train journeys up and down to Grimsby and back.
Perfect. Honestly, Heather, you'll bash it out. It was one intense day of reading. I just absolutely loved it. So yeah, I really recommend it. It will 100% be picked up as a
film. I was going to say, I think it's already been, probably Nicole Kidman, I don't know if there's a strong woman in there. I'm sure still there.
I'm sure her and Reese Witherspoon have, yeah, exactly, are all over. Let's tackle some of your questions, shall we? As usual, we've got a variety of topics. Somebody has asked, this is a nice one for Heather, maybe you can help on this one. Favourite furniture brands worth saving for, but not ludicrously priced. Where have you bought some of your furniture from, your favourite pieces?
Crikey. Basically, my dream is, well, like most people's, is like loads of stuff on the Conran shop. But it's, for me, a waiting game for things to drop into the sale or find it elsewhere for cheaper. It's hard to say because it depends what you like, really. But I really like Cartel, which does, they do lots of sort of perspex stuff. We've got a dining table and dining chairs and coffee table. Ooh, it's really difficult to say off the top of my head. Because also a lot of the stuff that we've got secondhand. So it's like looking for a mix of sort of vintage stuff and new things.
Where have you looked for secondhand? Where have you bought your vintage furniture?
So again, we got a lot of it from Brighton and just like finding local dealers who did stuff. There's lots of good people. There's an especially good place called Vine Street Vintage down here that's got quite a big online sort of Instagram following that they always have. They've got lots of different sellers, so you get like a big mix of different styles and things.
I think like for me, like nice and interiors only go with a big price tag. I think there's actually a real gap for that like mid price point that it's like still like well designed.
What's your dream, Lou? Like dream brand or
probably like Rose Unaki, which is hefty price tag. Do you know, actually, I went into Soane the other day.
Oh my god.
It is so beautiful. I mean, there was the most amazing sun lounger in the window with the most, it was like a raffia sun lounger with the most beautiful like printed quilts on it. Oh my God, just everything in there is so like tactile and beautiful and just, oh, heaven.
That sun lounger has been doing the rounds because they obviously did a shoot with some of the striped lounger bed bits in I don't know what hotel it's in, but God, it's so stunning. There was a piece, I think it was in the Times last weekend, about hotels that are decking themselves out with designer brands that you could then purchase things from.
Yeah,
there was an image of Cobbler's Cove in Barbados which had a Soane sofa, which it was 13 grand, the sofa.
Ooh.
I know, and it was this rattan, so, and they had two Soane mirrors on either side, both rattan, both 2 grand. I was like, oh my God, it's all so amazing, but so expensive.
I know.
Going back to not 13 grand sofas, I think Hay do some really nice stuff. And again, like that often goes into the sale, and a lot of that's quite modular as well. So they can work for various different house sizes and things, especially their sofas. They've got some new ones that have just come in stock recently, which I think are nice.
That's good. I didn't actually know that Hay did furniture. I always think,
yeah, they do. Yeah, sofas, armchairs, dining tables and chairs. They do quite a lot of really nice stuff, actually. I would recommend that as a good place to look.
Is there one interior designer that you guys follow who you're like, that is, if I could afford it, that is who I would have come and do my house?
Yes.
Oh,
Human for me. She's just insane.
You're also Human, yeah.
Yeah, like I didn't even know about her when I was decorating at the beginning and was going for slightly sort of like bolder patterns and prints and things like that. So then when I did discover her, I was like, oh, that she's basically doing a very much better, more amazing version of what I want to do.
You got her book, Heather?
Yeah, I have. I just look through it and I'm like, yes, that's amazing.
You've got her fabulous salt dispenser, Heather.
Oh yes, my monster pinch.
I wanted to buy her some knobs from her for the kitchen. Oh, yes, but I think they were £45 a knob and we needed something like 25. And
I'll stick with my salt dispenser.
Yeah, I think it'll be a replacement job one day down the line, but it's not for now. Lou?
Tricky. I don't think there's one person where I'm like, yeah, everything. It's kind of a little bit like, I love obviously Athena Calderon, who's Ice Swoon, like, I mean, just heaven. Everything that she puts up, I'm like, save, save, save. I love Steve Cordney, who is a Australian interior designer, who just has the most beautiful house that he's been renovating and just absolutely love. Louise Holt, also love everything that she does. Oh, so many, actually. What about you, Charlotte?
I think mine's a hybrid between Tiffany Duggan and Barlow and Barlow.
I was going to say Barlow.
Yeah, Lucy Barlow is right up my street. But maybe a little bit too kind of... I take away the slightly too chintzy bits. But on the whole, I mean, God, obsessed. And she... There's a kind of network of them. Like, her husband works in the business with her and does a lot of their joinery. And then her brother does all their lighting. And, like, you could just fall into such a hole across all of their Instagram accounts because it's all just so... It's kind of like what you were saying about Devolu. Like, every single detail is just so thought out and...
Yeah.
So clever and so stylish and just... Yeah. We didn't really answer the question at all there, did we? Favourite furniture brands worth saving for? I would say, so we have bought a few items from Trove by Studio Duggan for our new house. And I mean, cheap they ain't, but they're not thousands and thousands. That's where I'd be putting my money.
And they are also like good, like statement, unique pieces as well. And I think those pieces you are spending your money on, you kind of want them to feel like they've got a bit more character and personality.
Yeah. British made and small business. Yeah. Oh, Lou. We know you love them. Best recos for a double-breasted navy blazer.
Oh, well, if you are going spenny, then Blase Milano, 100%. Someone actually very kindly, after we spoke about it on the podcast a few weeks ago, sent me a gorgeous light blue one, which was on sale. Sadly, it was in Australia, but really appreciated the recommendation. And then... for on the high street, actually, you know, COS have actually got some really nice blazers this season, as have Arca. I think if you're after that sort of oversized structured shape, then those two are really good. Totem as well, I've got a really nice one this season.
Another one for you, Heather, you might be able to dip into this. This is not my forte, but this is certainly Lou's. Cool raincoat recommendations.
I actually got a really nice one again from Arca. It's like a really thin quilted raincoat material and it literally like pads down into like absolutely nothing, and it's got a really nice shape to it. Rains, obviously, quite cool and practical. They've just got to be practical.
Polly also, I'm just looking on her Instagram account, found such a good one. It's from, oh my god, it's from Benetton.
Oh really?
Throwback via Selfridges. It's £130 and I mean, it looks, it does look really cool, and I don't say that about anoraks lightly. Heather, I feel like you probably have a raincoat of some sorts.
I've got, yeah, a couple, but yeah, but the best one I found is like a hunter one, but it's really, really thin. My one's navy, but it's almost like a little bit transparent, so it does, it's completely 100% waterproof, which I think everybody does need, because I think everyone's been stung at one stage or another by like buying what they think is a water resistant raincoat, and actually you end up getting anyway. So yeah, I really rate those actually.
But you also just can't beat a barber either.
No,
but I do think the Rains ones, and particularly if I were to ever buy one, I would buy the Rains, the kind of opaque white. It kind of, it's like semi-opaque, semi-translucent, not a completely clear one, but a kind of smoky white. Do you know what I mean? That one I think is quite stylish.
I'm surprised you don't have one yet, considering you've got a dog.
But I would wear like a coat.
But like on the days like where, like a summer when it rains, or it's really, you just get really hot in a big coat and you just need, you literally just need a layer. that is going to protect you.
I know, I do take an umbrella, so I probably should bite the bullet. Yeah. I might just wear the one that Polly has. I actually do think it's very stylish.
I'm just looking at it. It's really nice.
Yeah.
Somebody's asked, we're going to move on from fashion in a minute, but I really like this question. Advice for budgeting for luxury fashion items. How do you do it? We're all quite kind of savers for a thing we like, and then we go and buy them. So what are your tips? What do you do? Heather, when there's something you really want, how do you save for it?
Oh, it's tricky. At the moment, I'm saving for a new kitchen, so fashion stuff is definitely out of the window.
How are you saving for your kitchen?
So basically, yeah, the only way I can do it is just, yeah, as soon as I get paid, put a set amount of money into a separate, like, easy access ISA that's linked to my bank account, and then just don't ever look at it. Just, it's gone. Don't have it. It's not there. And then, yeah, that's it, really. That's the only way. And then I guess sometimes I'll buy things that I might not normally buy fashion-wise if, for whatever reason, happen to have not spent as much money as I thought that month. And, you know, it's payday's coming up, and this very rarely happens, by the way. Like, there's a little bit more left than normal, then it might be like, oh, go on then, I'll buy that thing. But I tend to wait for sales, but that can be risky because they're not necessarily going to have it in your size or still available, but that's basically how I do it.
Yeah, I think just putting aside money at the beginning that you can't touch is key. But I also think it's really good to look back at previous months and kind of, it sounds really boring, but like do a spreadsheet or whatever, just work out how much you've spent on like excess things. Mm-hmm. And then you'll see, you know, if you are spending £8 on your lunch every day, like where can you cut back and where can you change? Or yeah, are you spending £150 at Zara or ASOS, whatever, a month? And actually, if you could put that £150 towards like one thing.
Yeah.
And so I think it's kind of good to just look at how you're spending, I guess, for previous months, and then work out, okay, actually, what did I need? What did I didn't? What did I not? Whatever. And then take it from there.
That's good advice. I have specifically on fashion. So I do the same. And, you know, at the beginning of the month, X goes into savings. Within my current account, I have like 5 different accounts, and so one is like bulk saving, and then one is for something else, and then I have another one that just £100 a month goes into, so like you don't notice that at all, and that then just accumulates over time into a nice little pot, and that is my investment for fun things pot. So I wouldn't buy, you know, something frivolous out of my like actual savings, but if you just let those £100 accumulate, it's really surprising how quickly you can then afford to buy something, you know, fun for £500 or whatever. Let it rack up, or get to a point where you've got £1,000 in there, and then just decide that you're not going below a certain amount. You've got a bit of cash to play with.
Good idea.
The other fun thing is to buy something expensive and then take it back, and you get the money back, and you're like, oh, fun.
So fun. There's a really good question here, but I want to end with that. So before that question, I'm going to ask, favorite topping on toast? Great chat.
Where to begin?
You know what springs to mind for me, and this is so rare because I probably have this once a year, but if we're going to, like, you know, make good chat around toast chat, for me it's ricotta, salt, honey, figs, mint.
Yes, very nice.
That is bougie.
So good. It is bougie. That would be my, like, where I'd start.
I mean, every day it's always butter and Marmite. Like, that is my breakfast, generally speaking. Or I try and have a smoothie, actually, but if I'm not having a smoothie, it'll be Marmite on toast. But, oh, I don't know. It has to be savoury, I think, for me. I'm not a sweet toppings person or sweet breakfast person. So, like, even the nicest jam in the world doesn't interest me too much, or honey, Nutella, nope. I mean, cheese on toast is insane. I love that. That's more of a like Sunday night dinner, isn't it? Rather than
specify breakfast. This is just favourite toast topping.
It can be anything.
That's true. Well, yeah, cheese on toast.
What do you do to make the perfect cheese on toast?
What I do is I'll have like 2 slices of cheese on toast, and then I'll put Worcestershire sauce on one of them, and then on the other I'll either put a thin bit of Marmite on before I put the cheese, or like a bit of balsamic glaze. Just like something that's gotten a bit of extra salty sort of acidity to cut through the cheese.
I always put mustard on mine as well.
That's also good, like a sort of Welsh rarebit style.
Exactly. All my mouth. Yeah. I'll have that for lunch with a fried egg.
Yum.
Lou, toast toppings?
Yeah, I agree. Like, nothing matters if the bread is shit. So it like has to be a premium sourdough. When we were actually back in Bristol this weekend, we got a fresh loaf from a bakery called Bakers & Co, which is on Gloucester Road, which, if you know Bristol, is kind of a really good foodie destination. And it was like still warm, like perfect, like really crunchy crust, but like chewy bouncy on the inside. Oh my God, it was so good. Anyway, so I would say something like that. And then I would go classic. I think I'd either go unsalted butter and fig jam, or, but I would say the toast has got to be like a little bit cold. I don't like it when the butter melts. I like the butter to like have a bit of like substance to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like used to put my toast in the fridge before I then put my toppings on it, so it would be colder. And then, or I would go peanut butter, pippa nuts, smooth peanut butter, but with a butter base as well.
Oh yeah,
those, my mum does that. I find that so
yeah, I didn't used to be, and then Lewis did it, and then like we were both having toast and I accidentally had his, and I was like, oh my God, why is yours so smooth? And when you have the butter, it doesn't like stick to your mouth. I just feel like if it's just PB, it's very like clammy and sticky.
That sounds good. It has to be crunchy peanut butter for me.
I think so too. I agree. I'd eat smooth, but I'd take crunchy instead. Final question, and I just love this. When someone asks you to say an interesting fact about yourself, what is your go-to? So basically, what's an interesting fact about yourself? What do you, do you not have these things up your sleeve? It's like how you have to have a good shirt up your sleeve always.
Mine is that I got an A in maths A level, because I just don't think anybody would expect that from me.
Nice. Yeah. I can imagine you being very studious.
Yeah.
I only think you know that, Charlotte, because you know I like maths.
No, true, but I think you're aware of that. Your interesting fact is that I'm good at everything. I'm teasing. You're right. I probably wouldn't have imagined that about you.
I guess, I don't know how interesting it is, but unexpected perhaps. I was a chorister at school. That's my one.
Yes, I feel like I knew that. Did you wear a fabulous ruffle?
Yes, we did have a
bit of that. Yeah, I bet you did.
Yeah.
You could probably wear that now. Like
I know, now I'm like, oh yeah, I love a ruffle.
You still sing?
No, I don't, no. Too much of my... Granddad gets upset about it, but no.
Do you miss it?
Yeah, I do actually. I just don't have time, and also choir sort of ruled my life at school because it was a choir school. So I think as soon as I was 18 and went to uni and had some freedom, I basically sort of was like, woohoo, don't have like 10 practices a week sort of thing, and then just never got back to it.
Mine is that my great uncle was the voice of Tigger in Winnie the Pooh.
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, that's amazing. What good character as well. Your great uncle.
My great uncle. So my mum's uncle.
Amazing. It's Tigger.
Yeah, he was also Muttley and Dick Dastardly in Wacky Races.
That's even cooler.
I know. And he was like the little woodpeckery thing in Fox and the Hound.
Oh wow.
As well, so yeah, that's my good kick.
So good.
Can you do the Muttley laugh?
Like not even a little bit. I'm sure it'll hurt my throat.
Lewis's uncle wrote, "It's got to be perfect for a fairground attraction."
Telling me that before. I love that song,
which is such a good
like,
one.
Like Hugh Grant in About a Boy, living on
that song.
Oh, good fact. That's such a for listeners who don't have an interesting fact up your sleeve, you always should. And as we say, a joke as well. I feel like everybody needs a good joke. Moments when you're put on the spot.
I'm glad you didn't ask us to tell a joke.
No, I won't. Anyway, that's it for today.
Lovely chatting to you both.
Lovely chatting to you both too. Do you remember that you can always send your questions in via the Sheerlux Instagram box every Sunday, or you can email podcast@sheerlux.com. We love hearing from you. Don't forget, until next time, to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. Bye bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.